The media is waking up to the fact that excess deaths are a thing and have been since the pandemic and specifically the vaccine rollout. Way to catch up after years of lacking curiosity on the matter. Now the headline from The Telegraph today, the first corporate media headline of its kind, despite, of course, excess deaths happening since 2020 at least. Well, someone who was warning about this all along is Dr. Kelly Victory. She joins us today and is a first-time guest on Redacted. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me.
So, okay, let's go over this study because the media is like, oh, what's this? Excess deaths, despite having no curiosity about it. So why is this a groundbreaking study?
Well, as you pointed out, I and others have been bringing this to light now for almost 3 years. The fact that the mainstream media is just waking up, I guess, is to be expected. The reality is that we've had the data, and the data are irrefutable. We've seen a significant uptick in all-cause mortality in pretty much every civilized country, around the globe. We have data going back to 2020. And interestingly, the excess deaths did not begin then. This most recent study from Germany showed that they looked at excess deaths beginning, meaning all, if you look at deaths from all causes and say, how many deaths would we normally expect in a year? And they compared the deaths in 2020 to that. And they said, the deaths from all causes were pretty much on par in 2020, despite the fact that we were in the very serious Delta wave of COVID. There wasn't a significant increase in Aussie in deaths. Somewhere around 4,000 increased deaths in Germany were noted in 2020. That changed drastically in 2021, and specifically after April of 2021. They saw a 2-standard deviation increase in deaths in Germany beginning in April of 2021, and stunningly, a 4-standard deviation increase in deaths in 2022. This is consistent with what life insurance companies in the United States started to report in January of 2022. They saw a 40% increase in deaths in the age group where you wouldn't normally expect them, meaning those people who are employed, people between the ages of 19 and, say, 49. That increase has not been accounted for by any of the organizations that are mandated, whose job it is to look into this, namely the CDC. Why have they not investigated this? If people want to speculate that it's something other than, in my mind, the most obvious thing, what happened in April 21? Let's see. It was the mass rollout of the mRNA vaccines. If someone wants to suggest that there is another reason, great, let's have that discussion. But we are obligated as scientists to look into this and to come up with plausible explanations for why we have seen this massive increase in all-cause mortality.
Now, one thing that the Telegraph does report is, oh, well, it could be the vaccine rollout because the times correlate, the months that you say, but also it could be pandemic-related measures, lockdown measures, and things like that. So they are still leaving it open for other causes. So what do you think of that?
Well, there's no question that we saw an increase in harm and damage to people because of the unnecessary and preposterous mitigation schemes like the lockdown. UNICEF has calculated that somewhere in the range of possibly 250,000, a quarter of a million children may have starved to death globally as a result of the lockdown and the impact on the food supply, the food chain. Then there were people who were clearly driven to substance abuse and may have died from that. There were people who died from lack of medical care for underlying conditions like diabetes and heart disease. But that can't possibly explain the totality of a 4-standard deviation increase. Furthermore, why did we not start seeing that increase until after April of 2021. Those mitigation schemes were put in place beginning in March of 2020. So if the issue was the measures like masking, social distancing, lockdowns, whatever else, we would have expected to see the increase in deaths beginning far sooner than April of 2021.
Good point. Good point. So there's a chart here that gives a predicted linear trend of excess deaths, which is usually pretty steady state. The governments and researchers and demographers expect that, you know, deaths will be at about a certain rate. And then we see just all these spikes and peaks and valleys. Mm-hmm. But it does seem like it is starting to drop back off to expected levels. So what does that tell us?
Well, unfortunately, we are still seeing increases in conditions like cancers, and I believe we've only seen the tip of the iceberg on that. But we know that deaths that are related to the vaccine commonly occur relatively quickly after people have gotten the injection, whether it's the initial series of two shots or a booster. That said, conditions like cardiac injuries, myocarditis, pericarditis, neurologic conditions, cancers, those things are going to be delayed. So we'd expect to see some flattening of the curve because of the deaths related to the acute phase negative responses like blood clots and sudden cardiac deaths related to the injections. There is going to be a sort of a lagging indicator, if you will, of those disease processes that take a longer period of time. None of the deaths at this point can be attributed to COVID itself. The virus has done precisely what we would expect it to do. It became more contagious over time and at the same time less lethal. Again, the most serious viral variant was the Delta wave that occurred in 2020. Yet that is not when we are seeing and when countries are reporting the significant increase in deaths.
Right. And the deaths in young people, the study doesn't parse it out by age, but we have seen that from at least the United Kingdom government, the CDC. And it begs the super uncomfortable question is, did we have to have done this? Because it even cites that at a global level, the pre-vaccination infection fatality rate was 0.03 for people under 60, 0.07 for people under 70, and for children under the age of 19, the infection fatality rate was 0.0003. So this is a risk-benefit analysis we were not allowed, but we can have it now, and it's damning, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and this is something I reported on from essentially day one. We knew from the very beginning that children, and I use that term loosely, it's really healthy people under the age of, say, 25 or even 30, were at such a de minimis risk from COVID as to be fundamentally indistinguishable from zero. They were at no serious risk from this. We knew that people who had obesity, diabetes, and heart disease were the people who were at the highest risk. The vast majority of the public was otherwise not at risk at all. And we knew that from the beginning. I and the few others who tried to report on it were egregiously censored, shut down, threatened, ridiculed. I got kicked off of every social media platform from nearly day one. We knew this. Furthermore, we knew that the idea of trying to do a mass vaccination program in the midst of a pandemic violates every fundamental rule of vaccinology, epidemiology, and virology. There's a reason we never initiate a vaccine program during an active pandemic, because it drives viral mutations in ways that you otherwise wouldn't see it happen in nature, and you can end up setting off a far worse outbreak. Furthermore, there's a reason why the average vaccine takes 6 to 8 years to come to market, if it ever makes it to market at all. There are a heck of a lot of viruses for which we've tried to come up with a safe and effective vaccine and haven't been able to do it. Think about things like herpes, norovirus, Coxsackie virus, rhinovirus, lots of viruses out there. This isn't something you can just, you know, womp up in your basement in a matter of months. And the mRNA technology despite what people have been told or led to believe, is not a safe and well-tested platform. Scientists have been working on it for well more than a decade, but it has failed and failed miserably on every previous attempt to make a vaccine, sometimes where all of the animals died, for example. So this vaccine had every markings of something that was dangerous, it was unnecessary, it was unsafe, and it was ineffective. The three legs of the stool that are required to roll something out: safety, efficacy, and necessity. And it failed on all three of those.
Jeez. I mean, the data is just continuing to prove you right when, you know, you were punished for saying those things. One thing, though, that the authors conclude of this study is that, yes, there are serious concerns about continued excess deaths in Western nations. And so they say, and this is the sort of lull part of it, like, oh, okay, government leaders and policymakers need to thoroughly investigate underlying causes of persistent excess mortality. Well, I don't trust those groups of people to investigate themselves. So who do we turn to?
Well, you're exactly right. And they're doing everything they can to obfuscate. They would like very much to get rid of the small control group that exists, people like me who were never vaccinated for COVID and are not showing these increases in cancers, autoimmune diseases, neurologic conditions, cardiac injury, those sorts of things. They are at the ready to roll out the next pandemic. Again, I believe in an effort to, number one, foist an additional mRNA vaccine on people, and number two, to muddy the waters further about what could possibly be the cause of the excess deaths and the excess injuries. So many of the things that they label as, quote, long COVID, and don't get me wrong, long COVID, what we called previous to COVID, post-viral syndrome, does exist. There are many respiratory viruses, including influenza, that can cause a prolonged syndrome following infection. That said, the vast majority of the cases that are being called long COVID are actually vaccine injury. Because if you look at the number of people who haven't been vaccinated, like myself, had COVID, like myself, there are lots of us out there. Interestingly, there's very low incidence of, quote, long COVID in people who were not vaccinated.
Wow, that's something I had not considered. So, okay. Well, thank you for breaking this down for us. Again, this is something that you've been saying for a while and we're attacked for it. So thank you so much for coming on Redacted for the first time. It was a pleasure to have you. Please come back another time.
Thank you. I'd be delighted to join you again.